We started talking about a very important topic this morning. We have our doctrines as Christians. We've got our convictions. We've got our belief system and things that we do and how we do them. But we talked about this morning why all the rules, why all the standards, why all of what we're doing to put these things into practice. Why do we come to church? Why do we dress the way we do and talk the way we do and act the way we do and go the places we go and listen to what we listen to and watch what we watch? And why don't we do some of those things? Why don't we watch certain things? And why don't we go certain places? So we would call those standards. You have the doctrines and what God has shown us. The Bible's able to make thee wise into salvation. The very most important thing in your life is to know for sure without a shadow of a doubt that heaven is your home and Jesus Christ is your Savior. That's the very most important thing that could ever happen in your lifetime. The Bible says once we are saved, that God wants us to be a part of the faith. He wants us to learn the faith and earnestly contend for the faith that was passed on to us. And so we see that there is a belief system that God wants us to be a part of. And there's certain, He doesn't want us to believe whatever. That's why He gave us His Word. We're not just supposed to make up what we believe. God has given us exactly what we're supposed to believe. The Bible says we're supposed to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There's things that God said to Israel that don't necessarily pertain to us today. There's cultural things that they were to obey that we don't necessarily obey today. But there is a set of doctrines we call the faith. We have a constitution, we have bylaws, we have a statement of faith here at our church, and it takes into account all the scripture and what we're to believe and why we believe as Baptists what we believe, and as Christians, why do we believe what we believe, and what are those things? And so I'm sure there'll be a series somewhere along the line. I've done it before, and I'll probably do it again. We did Doctrines 101, Doctrines 102, Doctrines 101. There's tons of doctrines. There's about 30 different doctrines we could talk about. Then there's the principles of God's Word. A principle would be something like, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. That's not necessarily a doctrine, but as Christians, we believe what goes into our eye gate is very important. So when we understand that we'll set no wicked thing before our eyes, from that principle, we establish standards. Now, your standard might be different than my standard, and my standard in an area might be different than your standard in an area. But it's important to have standards. I'm going to need that water again. I tried to get by without it, but my throat is so scratchy today. I apologize. I know it's annoying to hear somebody that's just raspy all the time. Yeah, right. Say it's annoying to hear somebody raspy. He goes, mm-hmm.
I've been that way all day.
Yeah, well, be real respectful tonight, man. Goodness gracious, man.
We're
late. Anyways, but you understand what that standard means. So when you say there's certain things my family will watch on television, then you would say that's our standard of TV. Some people don't even have a television. That's up to them. But the Bible gives us a principle, don't set any wicked thing before your eye. Some people believe they can go into a movie theater and watch a movie that is not bad. Now, before you start having palpitations, I'm saying people have different standards. If somebody put a gun to your head and said, you're going to have to go to a movie theater, take me there. I'm not getting shot over a movie theater. That's not a conviction of mine. But a conviction of mine would be the principle of what I'm going to put into my eye gate. What I'm going to allow my family to watch. Where am I allowing my family to go? So we're all different in these areas of standards. Some people believe you could eat these things. Some believe you shouldn't eat these certain things. That's their standard. And they might arrive at that. All of that to say, we have to arrive at those positions from God's Word. We don't make up standards. And what I'm afraid has happened in a generation of Christianity is we have come up with some standards. If we're not careful, we're passing down standards that what happens in this passage of Scripture, we don't have an answer for. Look at it with me in verse number 20 of Deuteronomy chapter 6. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? So there's commands, there's judgments of things that are that aren't the commands, but they're the way that you put those things into practice, the verdict you would arrive at for your personal beliefs, the statutes would be some principles, the testimonies are people and personalities of who did those things and predecessors before and people that you can follow, witnesses. That word testimony is the word witnesses. And so we see that when thy son asketh thee, don't you love when kids ask questions? I love questions, but man, sometimes they ask some hard questions, don't they? They start searching your heart about things, and they begin to ask why, and the thing that we want to say, the default thing we want to say, is because I said so. That seems authoritative. If I just say it mean enough, they'll stop asking, right? But that's not a good enough answer. We want our children to obey from the heart. And if you expect somebody to obey from the heart, then you're going to have to explain why we do what we do. And this morning we begin to delve into verse number 21. I want to go quickly to catch up where we were this morning. With just other things happening today. And of course, we're taking the time for the Lord's Supper, which is right to do. We don't have a lot of time tonight, but we will go until the Lord tells us to stop there. But the Bible says, and then thou shalt say unto thy son, the one that asked the question, why? What do these things mean? Why do we do what we do? Why do we believe what we believe? Why do we wear what we wear? Why do we go where we go? Why do we do that offering? Why do we have that feast? Why do we? Why do the priests do that? Why don't we associate with those people? Why do we drive out these people out of the land? And Moses said, when they ask these questions, then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And so we said this morning, the first thing that you can tell your children with confidence from God's word, the reason we do what we do, the reason why the rules, the reason why the standards we have. And again, somebody asked me this morning, are you going to go through every standard and tell us what we should do? That's not the idea of the series. The idea of the series is to bring out principles and to bring out how we arrive at standards. And then you and your wife and you and your husband and you and your children and you, most importantly, and the Lord, arrive at what you should do. Arrive at what you believe, how far that God wants you to go in that area. Without, the Bible says, without putting that bondage back under the law. We don't do things because we want people to obey, so we give them more rules and more law, and they'll obey me if I do that. That's not why we do things. We do it so that they will love God more. And we said this morning, the reason that we have the rules and the reason why we have standards and the reason we exalt these things and we try to practice these things in our daily life, number one, is because of the worldly culture we live in. Look what the Bible says here. It says, then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen, and it says, in Egypt. Egypt always a picture of the world. Egypt always a picture of sin. Egypt always a picture of the world's culture, the world's system. And the reason you have to have standards and the reason you have to, that you need rules in your family, the reason we have rules in our school and standards in our school and we exalt and put before you a standard as a church, the reason we do that is because we live in a worldly culture. And if we're not careful, that worldly culture will sneak into our family. If we're not careful, that worldly culture will overtake our children. You say, well, I can handle that. Well, your children might not be able to. Well, I can go there. Your children might not be able to go there. I know people that have struggled with certain habits. And I'll give you an example. I know certain people that have had problems with prescription drugs. They've gone too far with those things. And then they have a surgery. And they'll not take anything for that. Or they'll take some very light medicine for that. And the reason why, you say, man, you have pain. You got to take pain. Well, listen, wait a second. Their standard has become that because they know their weaknesses. They know what they can handle, what they can't handle. They know how far they can go and how far they can't go. Somebody might say, well, you can watch that movie, and that movie might remind them of something from their past. That rated of movie might be something they steer from and say, we don't watch that and we don't do that because I know what it did for me and I know what it did to me as a young person. And so we've got to step back and say, wait a second, your standard is different than mine and you can arrive at that, but we've got to arrive there by principle. And the principle here is there is a worldly culture around us every day. We're to be in the world, but the Bible says we're not to be of the world. Now, however you interpret that, or I shouldn't say interpret, however you define that and however you put that into practice, the Bible says we are not supposed to be part of this worldly culture. And the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, however far you take that, that is between you and God. But I'm telling you, if you're not careful, the worldly culture of this world, the Egypt influence of this world is going to seep into your life and into your family. We talked about this morning about the world's music, the culture of music, the culture of dress, the culture of talk, how we communicate, the culture of social media, the culture of entertainment, the culture of jokes, literature, parenting, worldly culture of parenting these days. I was talking again with somebody this afternoon, just how this world is trying to convince us to raise our children. It's just a mess. And if you're not careful and you don't take some principles of God's Word in parenting and set up some standards and rules for your family, you're going to fall into the trap of the way that the world is parenting their children, and we're turning out a generation of apathetic, rebellious teenagers and young adults. And somebody said, well, the theme is to ask questions about everything. I don't mind that. But why are you asking the question? Why are you pressing against that rule? Why are you asking about that standard? Is it because you want to feed the flesh? Is it because you want to be a part of this worldly culture? Or is it because you truly do want to be pleasing to the Lord? By all means, if you want to please the Lord and arrive at what God wants you to do, by the way, if you are in a home with parents, your standard is their standard. And I encourage my young people to come to me and ask me and to talk it out and to converse with one another why we do what we do. But until they're out from under my roof, until they're out from my financial care, they are going to abide by my standards. They don't have a choice. I'm supposed to train my child up in the way they should go. That is between me and God. And as I arrive at those standards for my children, I put those into practice. My children will have a choice about their standard inside my home. Now, there will come a day, and I've had this conversation with them. Me and my wife just said it this afternoon at the table. There will come a day they will be out from under our roof. There will come a day they'll have their own spouses. There will come a day where they have their own children, and they will need to decide not on what doctrine they believe. They should believe the doctrine we've taught them. They ought not to question the principles by which we live. They should not question the commands by which God has given us in His Word. But there will come a time by the principles of God's Word, from the doctrine to the commands to the principles to the precepts to the statutes to the standards, they're going to have to decide what that means for their family. We have to have rules and we must have standards because of the worldly culture we live in. Secondly, I would say to you, we need to have rules and standards. Why all the rules and standards? Because of the worldly personalities out there. Look at what the Bible says there. It says, and when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what meaneth the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then shalt thou say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt. They were part of a worldly culture, but it was run by a worldly personality. That's simply a principle to show you. We could go to 100 different passages this morning, but understand that each successive generation that comes along in this world is going to become more and more worldly in its personality. The people are going to become, the Bible says, that in Timothy, he said that it's in the last days, it will wax worse and worse. There'll be people who worship the creation more than the Creator. There'll be people that are heady and high-minded and think they know better than God. There'll be people that are rebellious and disobedient to parents. Listen, that was all the way back 2,000 years ago. We're living a day not of only a worldly culture, but we're living in a day of worldly personalities. Look at just back a few books there in Exodus chapter 1, if you would. Just look back to Exodus chapter 1 real quick. I'm going to show you something. In Exodus chapter 1, in verse number 6, the Bible says this, "And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that..." What's the next word? "Generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them." Verse number 8, "Now there rose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph." There was a new personality. The word Pharaoh is simply a name for the, if we call him the President of the United States, obviously as a name, but they would call their president the Pharaoh. And every Pharaoh that rose up away from Joseph's life, away from the influence of Joseph, away from the spiritual influence of him, every personality that came along knew not Joseph. Listen, we are raising a generation. There's many children today that are attending our schools and attending that live in America that don't know the God we know. They don't know the famous preachers of yesteryear. They don't know about our American history and how we are founded upon the Bible and founded upon religious liberty and founded upon one nation under God. There's a lot of people that don't know those things. And they're being raised in this world, and we've got to be careful with our families and be careful with our own personal lives, because not only do we live in a worldly culture today, we are living with worldly personalities. If we're not careful, our children will begin to follow people like Lady Gaga. She's just crazy. She's got issues. That woman's out of her brains. Seen her on TV and I just cringe. What happened to her? She woke up on the wrong side of the bed. What happened to her hair? Get some clothes on. There's people that absolutely worship the fashion and the person and the personality and the music and all of that lifestyle. Beyonce. I think of the personalities like Oprah, who have a huge influence, and Dr. Phil. I think of the Hollywood influence, the movie stars. We watch movies just like maybe anybody else will watch a movie. And we've got to be careful the Hollywood influence that's there. We've got to be careful what we're putting in front of our children. Because listen, you might think, oh, I like these action movies. This is really great. But your daughter likes that guy. Your daughter begins to worship that handsome fella on the screen. That beautiful woman on the screen your sons are attracted to. All I'm saying is there's personalities out there in Hollywood that if you're not careful, they will become obsessed with that personality and they won't understand your rules. They won't understand the standards. We've got to have rules. We've got to have standards. We've got to have a place where we stop and say, listen, we don't do that, and here's why. Because those personalities will take us further than we want to go away from God. And those people will say things that we ought never to say, and they will live in a way that we never want to live. I think of these wrestlers, and I don't know why. When I was a kid, WWF seemed pretty harmless. I don't know. I look back, I don't even know. I was a kid, and you know, there's Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant and those guys, and I thought, you know, we woke up on Saturday nights, and we got to watch them slam, body slam, and all that stuff, and there wasn't a whole lot of drama in it, and all of a sudden, man, these days, they've got, it is vulgar. It is absolutely vulgar. And people half-dressed, and people, the drama and the nastiness that happens. And parents, I'm not trying to pick on specific things. I'm just saying there's personalities out there. We've got to be careful. I think a great example is somebody like Taylor Swift or somebody like Miley Cyrus. There was a day that you would turn on the Disney Channel and watch a pretty clean show, and you would say, oh, that's kind of funny, or that's kind of cute. And 10 years later, we're sitting at a place where she's one of the most vulgar people on the face of the planet. And people have followed her right into that. And it was seemed innocent here. Listen, this is the way the world works. They'll get you hooked with a cigarette to get you towards marijuana, to get you towards the cocaine, to get you to the heroin. They'll get you to drink the hard lemonade, to get to the beer, to get to the alcohol, to get to the to get to the vodka and the liquor and the drunken nights. They'll get you to watch an R-rated movie, to get you the NC-17, to get you hooked on pornography. They'll get you to, like an innocent young lady that seems kind of funny and has a split personality and all of these things, and then silly, funny songs and things that you could dance to. And I wouldn't dance. I just want to be clear about that. But these dance-type songs, and all of a sudden this vulgarity and into a spokesman for some of the worst amount of debauchery and things of that nature when it comes to homosexuality and things of that nature. And all in the name, she says she's a Christian. And taking our young people down that path, what I'm saying to you tonight, parents, is we've got to be careful of the worldly personalities. The reason you're setting up rules, the reason you have a standard, the reason you've got to guard the television, the reason you've got to guard where you go, the reason you've got to guard the music, the reason you've got to guard the entertainment, the reason you've got to guard your children's friends, the reason you've got to guard these things is because of the worldly culture and because of the worldly personalities. I put down here the politicians and the boyfriends and the girlfriends and the famous evangelists, TV preachers and authors and Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and late night programming and Wolf Blitzer and Sean Hannity and these. All of that to say that there is just a rabbit hole of personalities that when you go down it, when you follow it, you're going to become worldly because of it. Bible says, when your son asks, why do we do these things? And why do we have these barriers? And why do we have these guardrails? And why do we have things that we're not allowed to see? And why do we have things that we're not allowed to do? And why do we do these things and those things? And you say, because we were bondsmen with Pharaoh in Egypt. We were in a worldly culture, and God brought us out of that worldly culture. We're not going to go back into the worldly culture. There was a worldly representative. There was a worldly personality in that thing. And God brought us out of that, and we're not going to keep following those worldly personalities. We're going to come away from those things. Why the rules? Why the standards? Because of the worldly culture. Number two, because of the worldly personalities. But number three, the Bible says, we were Pharaoh's bondmen. We were Pharaoh's bondmen. I would say to you, because of the worldly bondage. Because the world is not what it seems to be. Because we've got to protect the next generation. The reason we believe the Bible we believe, and the reason we go to church, and the reason we have standards, and the reason we have rules, And listen, I'm not even talking about anything specific. I'm not talking about what your standard has to be. That's in your home, and that's what you have to decide. But I know this. There's a worldly culture out there that is connected to worldly personalities, and those personalities will take you into a place of bondage. Isn't it amazing? They were just living, and they were mighty, and they were just having a great time expanding and becoming a people group in Egypt, and all of a sudden, with this worldly personality that rose and this worldly culture they were in, they became the bondmen. They became the servants. Without any ability to choose, because they were in the worldly culture, with the worldly personality, they became worldly bondsmen. They had to serve where they didn't want to serve. They had to give back what they didn't want to give back. They had to pay what they didn't want to pay. They had to work harder than they wanted to work. They didn't have a choice because of where they were. I see it all the time when people choose to take that first sip of alcohol. Man, you watch TV, you think that the alcohol scene is the greatest thing ever. But I remember being a child and my dad getting drunk. I remember my dad throwing my brother and my sister and me up against the wall when he was drunk and didn't know what he was doing. I remember my dad yelling and screaming at my mom and shattering plates and mugs and all kinds of things and throwing pots and pans at each other when he was drunk. I remember my dad waking up in the morning weeping and not realizing what he had done the night before and how he had abused his family, all because of alcohol. There was a day, I've even asked my dad, I said, when did you take your first sip? He said, when I was 12 with some friends. It was innocent. I mean, it was just to be around some buddies. It was just to have a good time. And you don't go to the world, worldly culture, and you don't hang out with the worldly personalities without becoming a worldly bond in worldly bondage. I think of the drugs. I think of the music. There's absolutely some children in this room that are in bondage to the world's music. Oh, they think they're controlling the music, but what they haven't realized is the music has begun to change their personality and change their attitude and change who they are. And they will defend that music more than they defend their parents. And they'll defend that music more than they defend Christ. And they'll defend that music more than defend right from wrong. Because they're in bondage now. They walked into a worldly culture and they were allowed to participate with worldly personalities. And now the progression that God says in His Word for those children, what do you tell your children? There was a day we lived in Egypt in a worldly culture. There was a day and there was a Pharaoh that arose that didn't know Joseph and didn't know Joseph's God. And there was a Pharaoh that rose up and put us in bondage in that worldly culture. And that's what the world does. Get you hooked on its culture, get you hooked on its personalities, and then in bondage. I mean, what's the problem with having a girlfriend that you like before you're married? Well, you got to be careful and set up some standards, because if you're not careful, you're going to go further with that girlfriend than you're supposed to go. And now you're in bondage to your feelings and your emotions and your hormones and the physical aspects of your life. And now the devil has you in bondage, and now you're going to do something that you'll forever regret. And that will forever have consequences. But that's what the world does. Well, you can't just... I heard this the other day. Well, you can't just... I love this phrase. Somebody said, you can't just get married to somebody and never live with them. You got to test drive first. I mean, you wouldn't buy a car without test drive. I said, are you seriously comparing marriage to a car? Well, you know what the analogy, what I mean. No. I don't think that a woman should be compared to a car. Got an amen out of the women, man. Well, it depends on what kind of car. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, when I go to buy a car, I'm going to test drive it. When I'm going to get married, I've got to make sure I'm living by the principles of God's Word and doing what God says. Why the rules? Why can't I go out at this age? And why can't I go out by myself? And why can't we drive together in the same... Whoa, wait a second. Because there's a worldly culture out there. And there's personalities telling you something different than what your parents are telling you. And there's rules and there's standards, because if you're not careful, you will become in bondage in that relationship. And God doesn't want that for you. He doesn't want you to take in the world's entertainment to the point that you become in bondage. Parents, can I just warn you? Our children are seriously becoming screen addicted. Technology driven. Children, listen here. Do you realize there was a day when there was no Facebook? Matter of fact, there was a day when we did not have smartphones. There was a day that we didn't have phones in our cars or DVD players coming from the ceiling. There was a day where the phone, listen, where the phone was only in your house. You don't understand. There was a day where the phone was not... You could have a wireless one with a 10-foot antenna that you would walk around and it would crackle and you would... There was a day where the cord was on the wall and was attached to the phone. And then when we got rich, when we was kids, we had a 20-footer. We had a 20-foot cord. I was sitting on my couch from the phone that was in the kitchen. And you would go tell your friends about it at school. Like, dude, we just got a 20-footer the other day. and your cool level like went up like four people in your class. He doesn't have the 5-foot wire anymore. They've got the 20-footer. They kind of arrived. They got some stuff. But what's the world done? It was something as simple as a telephone. It's gone from the rotary phones. Well, wait a second. I don't even know about all the switchboard stuff y'all used to do. I think that was just on Green Acres. But there's switchboards, and then we've got rotary phones, and then we've got all of this stuff, and we've arrived at a place where you can look up stuff from around the world in 2 seconds, and if it takes longer than that, you are mad. And now we got game after game, and we've got social media after social media, and we've got Instagram. And listen, I think social media has its place, and we've got to be careful with it, but you can become in bondage to it. And it becomes the babysitter, and it begins to raise your children. They're learning things on those things that are putting them in bondage. All I'm saying is, why, young people, look here. Why the rules? Why the standards? I'm going to tell you why. Because there's a worldly culture like Egypt that God has saved you from. We don't put ourselves back under worldly culture when God saves us from it. And you have to be careful because we live in a world with worldly personalities that are constantly politically, emotionally, parentally, physically trying to take us away from the rules and the standards that God has for us to protect us. And where does it end up? There will arise things out there that don't care about your God. And there are things out there, there are musicians who name the name of God and they say the most vile thing and they want you to listen to their music. And they will start and then they call it crossover music. They will cross over. I'm not even talking about contemporary stuff and all this Christian this and Christian that out there. Somebody came to me this morning and said, well, we've got people that believe in Christian alcohol and Christian things that you can kind of get together socially with other Christians and it's not that big a deal if you don't get drunk. We're living in a messed up world. Why the rules? Why the standards? Because we live in a worldly culture. Because we live with worldly personalities that are constantly trying to take us away from the things of God. Because we live in a world of bondage. And you've got to be careful what you put yourself in the middle of, and what you begin to participate in, and where you begin to go, and what you begin to watch, what you begin to listen to. Parents, let's get on the front lines. Let's get on the front lines. Because your children will ask, what's the reason for all these things? Why the Bible we use? Why do we pray? Why don't we do that? Why don't we go there? Why don't we watch that? Why do we do this? Why do we go to church on Sunday? Why do we go to church on Wednesday? Why do we listen to that kind of music but not that kind of music? Why do we watch that but not that? These are three reasons you can start with. Now, we'll give you a lot more reasons, and we're going to show you how to arrive at godly standards. But I would say you could start with your children on this, because we live in a worldly culture. You're living in a world that is abased. This world is not spiritual. The devil is the prince and the power of this world, of the air. He is the person who God has given free reign in this earth right now. And he's doing his best. The Bible says he's like a lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. We live in that kind of a culture. Can you go on vacation? Absolutely. Can you enjoy entertainment? Absolutely. Can you listen to good music? Absolutely. Can you live in this world and be and have a standard of living that is fun for your kids and memorable and exciting and shows them the Christian life? Yeah, absolutely. Be careful, because we live in a worldly culture. We're surrounded by worldly personalities, and if you're not careful, you're going to walk them right into worldly bondage, and then they're going to teach the nation, the next generation beyond them. And beyond them, beyond them, we will be a world of Christianity stuck in Egypt, under Pharaoh, in bondage. May God help us in these matters of how to arrive. Why all the rules? Why all the standards? It's a messed up world. We've got to. What those are, your call. But I believe there's some very godly principles in God's Word to arrive at something that will protect your children, that will protect you. You as your as a spouse, you as a husband or a wife, you as grandparents, you as a single person. This isn't just about parenting. About all of us. Careful. Be careful. Why the rules and standards? God would be pleased if we showed our children there's worldly culture, it's a worldly personalities, and there's a worldly bondage we must be guarded against. Would you stand together for a word of prayer this evening, please?